So in this lesson, we eventually come to the price of a European option. And then we continue next with the price of an American option. And after that, I would try to start with the Black-Scholes model. So we define now the price. And it is a so-called super-hedging price. I'm going to give that up. So we had introduced a while ago a market model, and we assume the same assumption from that place. So especially, we have the no arbitrage condition. So we had a probability space, a filtration, share prices. So that is D-dimensional share prices and bank account process and a non-negative F measurable Z mapping from omega into the So non-negative, I could also erase. Standing here again. Okay, so Z is going to be our option, very abstract. And the super-hedging price of an option he is standing with cash flow we didn't define that, so just as an additional comment is. Okay, so how could we define a price of an option? What would be reasonable? Sorry. So the idea is, if you are a bank manager and you sell the option to your customer, then you have to make sure that your bank is not going to be bankrupt by your dealing. So you have to make sure that you can counterbalance this option. And how would we say that? So that would be the smallest amount such that there exists a peer admissible strategy . So self-financing and such that the value of the portfolio is never negative. That was P admissible. Such that the value of the portfolio at time zero is alpha. So that's the amount of money maybe the bank manager gets for the option. And the value of the portfolio in the end, where the option is maybe exercised, should be greater or equal to the option. So I think that's a reasonable definition, that the option, that's going to be the option price. So the start capital should be at least, or should be the smallest amount, such that the value of the option in the end is P almost truly bigger than, the value of the portfolio, sorry, is P almost truly bigger than the option. Okay. That's going to be our price, our super hedging price. And that's a so-called super hedging portfolio. Super because it's bigger than what is bigger or equal to what is needed. Okay, and now we want to find this also in another way. So same situation as before, and we assume that omega is finite because we want to prove something. F is the set of all subsets, and P of each little omega is positive. We assume that Q is a Martingale measure with respect to the discounted share prices. With Q is equivalent to P, so it also has positive values for all omegas. And under these conditions, the claim is that the justified superhedging price of the option Z can be written as the supremum. So here we have an infimum. Now we have a supremum of all the expectations with respect to Q. And we discount the option. And then we take the expectation. And I think this assumption is nonsense. Let's take it away. So we take the supremum of all such values where Q is a Martingale measure equivalent to P. Okay, what happens? So that is now our price of the option. What happens if there's a unique Martingale measure, like the binomial share price, right? Cox-Ross-Rubinstein model. There the Martingale measure is unique. So the amount of Martingale measures is equal to one. In that case, you have not a lot of choices to build your supremum. You just have one choice. So that means in that case, the price of the option is equal to this expectation. So, yeah, if this set of Martingale measures is just the set containing our queue. So it's not the empty set. That's Q. Okay, so in that case, the price of the option is easy to compute. You just take the expectation of the discounted option, so to say. In the general case, we have the supremum. But anyway, we need to prove the equality. Okay, so we show two cases. The first is we show that P star is greater or equal to the supremum. That's Q, not S. So by definition of P star, we have that VT of Z is VT of phi. The value of the portfolio is greater or equal to Z. Okay, so that was the definition. I show it again. So we take all, we take the infimum of all alpha such that the value of portfolio starts with alpha, and at capital T, it is greater or equal to Z. So we are assuming now this condition. Then if we discount, then we would get here VT of phi tilde is greater or equal to Z 1 plus R to the power of T. And now we know that, so if we have Q as a martingale measure, then the value of the portfolio is, so this object, we can take the conditional expectation. So and that would be yt of phi, y zero of phi tilde. So why is this equal for zero? Because if you divide, if you discount, you discount always at the given time. Now, if you discount at time zero, this would mean that you would divide this for capital T equals zero. That's why it's the same, right? So B zero is equal to 1 plus R to the, okay, like this, which is 1. So that's the reason. And B0 was this, or BT was this discount factor, which is that stuff. Okay, and that is equal to the expectation with respect to Q of V capital T phi tilde, and that is greater or equal to from this inequality. And the initial value of the portfolio that we can put alpha, so we get that alpha is greater or equal to this one, and so the infimum of all alpha is also greater or equal to the right hand side. So this implies So the expectation, it looks like this is in the denominator. That was not meant. Okay, so this is what we needed to show. This one is greater or equal to this, and we can choose any q. It's always for any q which is from this set, we have this inequality. So now we could take the supremum over all q. So we have that way around. The other direction is not so straightforward, so it doesn't follow directly from the definition. I'm repeating the formula. So we take the expectation of the discounted options for all q, which are Martingale measures equivalent to p. So it is still okay if the market is complete. So if we what did it mean? If the market is complete, then we have only one Martingale measure. So by theorem 2, maybe we should have a look at that. Not sure if I can make this in finite time. I'm searching for the lecture. Here it is. Okay, let's find. Let's find theorem 2, 3, 2. I think it was. Yes, that was this Martingale criteria for complete markets. So if we assume the market is complete, then we know there exists exactly one Martingale measure, and moreover, any random variable I can represent like this. So we need both things, that we have just one Martingale measure, and we have one, and that we can represent any random variable in that way. Okay. So that was the Martingale criteria. We have that there's just one Martingale measure. It's denoted by Q0 here. And we can represent our discounted option because it's just also any random variable in such a way as it was just in the theorem formulated. K goes from 1 to t. Okay. But then we know if you take the expectation of this, then we get alpha with respect to Q0, because these are Martingale differences. So we had to use this a couple of times. So for this, we get that the expectation with respect to Q0 of Z tilde is equal to alpha. And that is, Z tilde is just the discounted Z. Okay, maybe I should write it. Yeah, let's do it like that. To make it logic. So we take Z divided by 1 plus R to the power of T. That is, in fact, Z tilde. That is alpha. And then this implies that we have equality. So especially we have this equation. So let's give it a star. Okay, so the assertion was that these are predictable. Is a predictable sequence, and we know that we can make it to a self-financing, to a p-admissible strategy by defining the bank account part, and then this is really the value of the portfolio, and that's the value at time zero. So it's really what we need. Everything fits. Okay, in that case, we have done it, and the third part is. Now we show star. Without assuming that the market is complete. And I'm going to cheat a little bit because I'm using a big theorem, which I'm not going to prove. And the theorem looks somehow familiar, I guess. So we use the following theorem. So I'm still in the middle of the proof of the proposition, right? And the theorem is called optional decomposition. And it is not that old. So it is done by a lady called El Karoui. She's French. Let me check the spelling like this. And Quines, that's a guy. And it was done 95, and the almost same, or maybe a little bit generalization, was done by Kramkov. So these people are modern researcher in finance. So yeah. And what are we going to have? We assume that yk from 0 to capital T, sorry, is a super martingale. With respect to all Q in M S tilde, and Q is equivalent to P. So this YK has a property, whatever queue you choose, it's always a supermarket again. Then there exists a decomposition. Yk is equal to y0 plus the sum phi l sl tilde minus sl minus 1 tilde minus ck, and k goes from 1 to t, l goes from 1 to k, and just checking the clock. Yeah, so what can we say about this equation? The first thing is that the phi is the right thing, namely phi k goes from omega to rd. So that always means it only concerns the share prices. So why is that? Why do we not need to say anything about the bank account movement? Because if you discount, then you have here for the bank account change, you have zero. So even if you put here something for the bank account movement, it would not influence this representation. Don't know if you have noticed that already. So this is fk minus one measurable. Ck maps from omega into zero infinity and is fk measurable. And it is increasing. Okay. This should remind you to something. Namely, this almost looks like a Dupe's decomposition, right? So what's different? Maybe we should check. Trying to find my Dupe decomposition again. So we had it already today, sorry for that. Maybe now is the better place to compare. So in Dupe's decomposition, we have a Martingale, one measure, a super Martingale, and one measure. Here we have a super Martingale with respect to maybe more than one measure, because we do not assume anymore that the market is complete. So we have a bunch of measures. So this super Martingale is a measure with respect to a lot of measures. Here we have just one fixed. And this obviously, this first part is the martingale, right? So here we had the y. Oh, sorry. I have to change. So here we had the y is equal to the martingale minus an increasing process. And also here we have the same. We have a martingale minus an increasing process. Here it was predictable. And the CK here, which is the A here, is not predictable. It's only adapted. And that's why it's called optional decomposition, because optional measurability is like adapted or progress. Yeah, so it's related to not predictable. Okay, so that's why they called it optional. And they cannot, they said they cannot prove it for predictable. So this is the difference. And this is because you have more than one probability measure. So you cannot make this predictable. It's only adapted. But the rest looks almost the same. And this expression, yeah, that's our martingale. And the positive thing is with Doob's decomposition, we would have a different decomposition for each probability measure. But here, the martingale, this part here is for all Q the same. So this is always the same martingale. Okay? So it's unique structure. Good. So we have something like a Doob's decomposition, just more suitable. And now we can finish the proof. Namely, so we had just proved this proposition. In the previous lecture, that this object here is a super martingale, right? That was the proof where we used the structure of partitions and so on to prove that we have a super martingale. So we had this building, if you remember, with the supremum, and we took all Q, which are martingale measures equivalent to P, and we had that this is a super martingale. So if K is running. With respect to any of these Qs, where we did build the supremum over. So since I'm taking here the supremum, maybe I make a prime here to say that, yeah, now I'm using them again, but not the ones where I take the supremum. Okay, but this is exactly the situation which is in this optional decomposition, because we have a super martingale for any such Qs, and then we have this representation. Now we are going to use this theorem. So YK satisfies, I think it can start in zero. So what would be zero if I take the expectation? So F zero is probably the trivial sigma algebra. The conditions of the above theorem is that clear? Because That's a proposition. Okay, the above theorem is this one. Okay. Then I don't need to write a number. So that means that we have yk can be written as y0 plus, then we have this phi k sk, or it was, we should use L. From 1 to k minus ck, k from 1 to capital T. Okay, so how do we proceed? So the y0 we have, that is the, as we just already talked about, y0 is just the expectation of this and taking the supremum. Okay, and now we get that from this equation, what is y capital T actually? Y capital T is the supremum of the conditional expectation and so on. And here we have capital T, but capital T, that was always the assumption in our market. So since F is equal to F capital T, that means that the conditional expectation, so this you should know, with respect to FT, because Z is F measurable, so it's measurable, that is then just Z 1 plus R to the power of T. So we have this one, and that is, yeah, so if that's the case, I'm not writing this in detail, so this is just this expression for k equals capital T, and then I the supremum I can forget about, so y capital T is just this one, okay, because this is not relevant. And now we use our representation. Again. And then I can just make it bigger because I know that this is a non-negative process. This C. Okay, so if I don't take it away, I have an inequality. And then, as I said already, we can assume that we have a self-financing strategy. So in the moment, we have just a sequence of predictable, or not a sequence, we have a predictable process, but we know we can always make it to a self-financing strategy. So we can interpret this as Vt of phi by adding the first component. Actually, there's a demo session a bit about this, where you really compute this stuff next time. So I'm going to comment on the exercises tomorrow. So a while ago in the lecture, we had also done this, that we can, how we can add the phi zero. This is still true. Okay. So we have this inequality. This is less or equal to that one. And now we just take the expectation and so on. So this inequality implies that P star of Z, which was this value, so it's the infimum over all alpha, this is our alpha now, is the infimum over all alpha, so it's less or equal to Y zero, and that is, on the other hand, the supremum of the expectation of Z 1 plus R T. Because, I'm taking this, and I take so by that we have that YT is greater or equal to this one, so to this missing, I guess. Yes, so if you take off the tilde, then we have YT is greater than equal to Z. Let's write this. So this makes us sure that the Y zero is greater or equal to the price of the option. And on the other hand, we can now use this equation and to take the expectation. Q. Like this. Yeah, and that's what we wanted to show. Okay, and this is exactly the time for me to finish. So we will talk a little bit more about the hatching of a European option in the Coxworth-Rubenstein, and that's related also to the demo questions. So this comes tomorrow. Okay.